I don't know if our brother Frank realized that when he asked me and remembered that the last time I preached on Super Bowl Sunday, I made some statements that about keeping the Sabbath holy, and several people talked to me about it afterwards, and I don't know how many it stopped from watching the Super Bowl that Sunday, or how many will feel the need to watch it this day. But when I preach, I usually try to admonish us to repentance. Last Sunday, after I was asked to preach, I went home and started working and looking up some scriptures, and I had considered at that time to preach on attendance at the services and promptness, because so many are late. While I was working, I got to looking up scriptures and so on, and all of a sudden I looked at the clock and it was 6:10. And that's the time we have to leave to just walk in the door just on time. And I didn't have my shoes on yet, my tie on yet. So needless to say, on the way, I figured that I really can't preach on that until I can be a better example. I plan to take a little different approach this morning. I'm not going to admonish us to repent, but I hope to give us a reason to repent. I want to turn to the 12th chapter of Revelation. Start out, I'm going to read the first 5 verses there. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who is to rule over all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Let's analyze that a little bit. In the first chapter, it talks about a woman. I believe this woman represents the church. The sun, clothed with the sun. The sun represents the truth, the understanding, the light. The moon, probably that stands for the Mosaic law that was ended and was fulfilled when Christ came. It was no longer in effect, and therefore it's under her feet. The crown that was mentioned there, the crown upon her head, represents the authority that the church had. And the 12 stars represent the apostles, 12 apostles that he chose. In verse 3, it talks about a great red dragon. A dragon is the devil. And it talks about that this dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. These refer to Rome. The 7 heads, if you want to look in Revelation 17:9 to verify this, these 7 heads are the 7 mountains or hills of Rome. The 10 horns represent the 10 nations of Europe that were ruled by Rome, and the 7 kings, the 7 crowns, the 7 kings that ruled Rome. So this identifies where the devil set up his kingdom on earth. In verse 4, it says, "And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven." This is the dragon's head. When Lucifer fell, the devil, when he fell from, let me read on in verse 7 of Revelation here, because it goes back and talks a little bit more about what it just said here in the first 5 verses, and it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So that third part of the stars of heaven, those were the angels that sided with the devil, that sided with Lucifer, and were cast out, and they were cast to the earth. In verse 10 it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." This much tells us that this is good news for heaven. But look what happens in the rest of 12. It says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And verse 17, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So that's bad news for the earth at that time. The last half of verse 4, it says that dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, according to my understanding, this is probably not Christ, although many I've heard think it is. It's more likely, in my mind at least, that this is the authority given to the Church of Christ and the goal to establish Zion. The woman here did not bring forth Christ. This is my argument on that. The woman did not bring forth Christ. Christ brought forth the woman, the church, instead. Anyway, verse 15, I'm kind of skipping around in this chapter, but the chapter does skip around and repeats itself. And so I feel the need to do this. In verse 15 it says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." This flood is the humanistic ideas, the idolatry, the filth, the pornography, and any other idea that will draw people away from Christ and the gospel. And in verse 16 it says, "And the earth helped the woman, And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of its mouth. I don't think this has happened yet. I think this is future. This is a hope that we should have, that this flood will be taken away. Back to verse 5. Says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We know the rod of iron is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said, the child being the authority here, it says it was caught up to God and to his throne. The authority was taken from the earth sometime after Christ departed. After he died and went back to heaven. Verse 6 says, and the woman, the church, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, the wilderness. The wilderness is a desolate, uncultivated region. You know, if the authority of the gospel were taken from the earth, if it was gone from the earth, it would be spiritually desolate, wouldn't it? And I think that's the meaning there of the word wilderness. 1,260. What's a score? It's 20. So that would be, 3 score would be 60. That would be 1,260 days. Right? If it's 1,260 days, we find in Ezekiel the 4:6 that a day in prophecy is as a year. So that means 1,260 years, not 1,260 literal days as some in the Protestant world might try to say. It's 1,260 years. So the authority was gone from the earth for 1,260 years. I want to read in verse 14 then. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a gray eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Picture this, 2 wings of a great eagle, and then look at a map of the world, and look at North and South America. That is the 2 wings, I believe, of the great eagle that is mentioning here. So the Americas is where this woman fled to. In John 10:16, it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, what are these other sheep that he was referring to? Well, it answers it in this book. It says in 3 Nephi, page 644, Christ speaking, starting with verse 13, it says, and now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he said unto those 12 whom he had chosen, ye are my disciples, and are a light unto this people, who are a remnant of the house of Joseph. And behold, this is the land of your inheritance, and the Father hath given it unto you. And not at any time hath the Father given me commandments that I should tell it unto your brethren at Jerusalem. Neither at any time hath the Father given me commandment that I should tell unto them concerning the other tribes of the house of Israel, whom the Father had led away out of the land. This much did the Father command me, that I should tell unto them that other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And now because of stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my words. Therefore I was commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing unto them. But verily, I say unto you that the Father hath commanded me that I should tell unto you that you were separated from among them because of their iniquity. Therefore it is because of their iniquity that they know not of you. And verily I say unto you again, that other tribes hath the Father separated from them, and it is because of their iniquity that they know not of them. And verily I say unto you that ye are they of whom I said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And they understood me not, for they supposed it had been the Gentiles, for they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. Again, in the 14th verse here, it talked about a time here. It says she was nourished. And like I said, I believe it was this land. She was nourished here for a time and times and half a time. Well, what does that mean? If we consider that a time is a year of 360 days, and times being 2 years, 360 times 2 is 720, and half a time would be half a year, or 180 days more. Add up the 360, the 720, and the 180, and you again get the 1,260 days, which we said was 1,260 years. So that time that it was nourished upon this land, while the authority was gone upon this land, we know sometime after, we just read about it in Sunday school here, the final end of the people of Nephi and Moroni being the last that held the priesthood authority. You know, history tells us that after Christ's death, the church did not continue in the form that it had before. Christ set it up with 12 apostles at the head. These 12 apostles gave way to the bishops being in power and ultimately one bishop over them all, that bishop being the Pope. So there was a falling away, an apostasy, and Paul tells about that in his writings. I want to read in a few of these, or a couple of these times that Paul talks about this apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, it talks about that. It says in verse 1 through 3 here, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Let me read that again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Who is that man of sin? Well, I repeat. Well, let me read verse 4, and I think it will identify that man to you. It says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth on the temple of God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you look at the history and some of the statements of some of the popes, they have declared this, that they were God on earth. This is referring, brothers and sisters, to the Pope, the man of sin, the son of perdition. You know, we don't usually hear too much preached when they up here against the Pope, but if he was the man of sin, the son of perdition, shouldn't we be doing so? Verses 5 in the second chapter, verse 5 says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I think this refers to Imperial Rome. And that when it fell, it was the Pope that gained the power there. Verse 8 says, and then shall the wicked is capitalized here, it refers to the devil, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, the hope that we have, it's a future event there. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lyings and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. You ask the people of the world today, those in the churches, other churches of the world, they do not understand. They do believe a lie. 12, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Acts 1:79. I gave the page, and your page probably isn't the same as mine. I write the pages down so I can find them a little quicker. Sometimes the books disappear in my Bible, and I have to hunt all over, but if I have the page number, I always find them. The 20th chapter of Acts, I'm sorry. Verses 29 through 30. Paul again telling them, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. These grievous wolves are the people that have brought the doctrines and so on that are not according to the scriptures and not according to that the Lord has given us. In Amos, I won't give you the page this time. In the 8th chapter of Amos, you'll just have to find it yourself if you. The 8th chapter of Amos, verse 11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. This thirst is the time that I'm talking about, this apostasy. The time when the truth, the authority, was gone from the earth. And we've established that it was a time of 1260 years. Well, in order to understand when that 1260 years was up, we have to set a date when it started. And the best date that we can come up with on the fall of Rome and the complete apostasy of the church is 570 A.D. After 570 was a period of time in history that is referred to as the Dark Ages. This is the time when the Catholic Church was in full power and controlled the nations and kept people in the dark. They changed the gospel. They changed the... so it was lost on that continent. Meanwhile, on this continent, it was also lost. But the record of it was buried. And it was not polluted by that great and abominable church. It was buried in the ground. So if we take 570 and add 1260, we get 1830. So what happened then? Revelation 14 tells us. In verse 6 it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." You know, the Church of Christ is the only church that can be a fulfillment of this proper prophecy. You might say, wait, the other restoration churches can look at the same prophecy. But what was the name? What was the church at that time when that prophecy was received? It was the Church of Christ. The other churches of the restoration have gone into an apostasy of their own. They have left the truth. This prophecy in the 14th chapter of Revelation here was fulfilled when the church was restored to the earth by the hand of an angel to Joseph Smith. Isaiah 29. Verse 9 says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets, your rulers, the seers he has covered." This refers to the apostasy, and it continues upon many of the people of the world today, that they have the spirit of deep sleep and their eyes have been closed to the truth. Verse 11 says, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned." You know, Look at the history of our church. It tells us what that is all about. That happened. Joseph Smith was that man that was not learned. Professor Anton was the one that was learned, but he could not read it because it was sealed. 13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. What was the doctrine that was being taught? Hell, fire, and brimstone. The doctrines of men. Not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. By the way, this sealed book we have the record that was brought forth from the ground that the angel led Joseph Smith to find and to interpret by spiritual means. It was hidden in the earth for at least 1260 years. In verse 14, it says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. This is the start of that marvelous work and the wonder. I don't believe it's done yet. I think the establishment of Zion will be part of it. And that's soon to come. It says, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing frame say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? It is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned to a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. That verse right there sets the time of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. It was a little while before the rains returned to that area. It had been a dry, desolate area for many, many years. But the rains returned in 1853 and 1854 and made it again a fruitful field. 1830, a little while later, 1854. The time was set. The scriptures tell us these things if we will dig them out. Verse 18 says, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. A restoration of these ideas, returning to the earth after an absence of so long. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice for the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. I wonder if that word is the word Mormon. Because if you listen to the Christian world today, they seem to have a very great mission against the Mormon. They realize that what they are talking about is not us. It is what the Mormons have made of the gospel. We don't believe the way the Mormons do. And we need to know the differences so that we can answer those who may criticize the Mormons. Because they don't, in their criticism, they extend their criticism beyond just what the church believes. They also criticize this work. The word Mormon has offended many. 22, therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and justify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. This is future. Partly future. Some of it has come about. But much of this marvelous work and the wonder is yet to be. And rejoice because it is yet to be in the very near future, and we shall see it, brothers and sisters. The 8th chapter of Hosea. I'm glad I have the page number down. 8 through 12. 8th chapter, 8 through 12. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burdens of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be made unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. This Book of Mormon has been written to him, but he has counted it as a strange thing. Something that he doesn't want a part of. So he has built many altars to sin, many churches, if you will, many churches, each professing slightly different doctrines, but not the truth. This restoration of the church, brought by the hand of the angel, returned also the priesthood authority to the earth. It had been lost for those 1260 years. You know, this authority is something that can't be gotten by going to college or because someone feels like they want to take up the ministry themselves. Let me read Hebrews 5th chapter and verse 4. Hebrews 5:4 says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he is called of God, as was Aaron. Well, we might, it says here, the Lord must have revealed it to him through man. Let's see what it says I guess I didn't write that down. I think it was, I forget where it was now, but you can look that up in I think it's somewhere in Exodus, where it told of the calling of Aaron. It came through Moses. The 10th chapter of Romans. And verses 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Except they have authority. It must be sent with authority. And then it goes on and it says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So the authority is needed. We could also look in Jeremiah, and you might want to look this up in the 23rd chapter. It tells about those that were not given authority, but yet they took upon the honor upon themselves. Turn to the 8th chapter of Acts if you're following along. And we'll read 18 through 20 there. It says, and when Simon saw, through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It can't be purchased. You can't buy it. You have to be called to receive that gift, to receive that authority. And the Church of Christ has that authority. It is the only church that does. You know, we don't hear much preached about our authority, about our history, about our heritage. We don't hear much preached against the Catholic Church or its daughters, the Protestants. We don't hear too much about Joseph Smith up here anymore. Joseph Smith was told that these daughters, these Protestant churches, their creeds were an abomination to God. We should be preaching and telling our differences and why we know the truth. Are we ashamed of our heritage? It's my opinion that we don't really realize what we have in our hands. This gospel of Jesus Christ. This is His church. It's the only true church on the face of the earth. The only one with authority. This woman, this church, is to be the bride of Christ. And He will soon return to it. You know, although an understanding of these things that I have preached are not required for us to be saved, I believe that a true understanding of our heritage, this story, may bring to our consciousness what is required of us. It should give us a burning desire to change those things that are in our lives that are wrong. And each of us, every one of us, have things that are in our lives that make us less than Christian. It's time. It's way past time that we make these changes so that this bride of Christ will be ready for His return. And His return is very near. Very, very near. And we should be working so that Zion will soon be established and that we can be a part of that great time.